Toronto with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. Gubernatorial candidate Jeannie Ives is in the studio with us right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I've read your book. I got your book in the mail. I thought, wait a second here.
Did you want me to sign it? Did you bring it in?
I should have done that. Why didn't I think of doing that? I walked past it today.
We're doing a book signing tour. So.
Well, I thought this is an interesting thing. For those who've, how many of these did you send out?
About 550,000.
Wow. 550,000 of these books. Okay, yeah. So they come in a little envelope, and you open it up, and it's a little, it's like one of those old, like, little paperbacks that you would buy, like, at Walgreens.
When,
you know, I'm that old, but, you know, you'd go to Walgreens, you'd go to Woolworth, and you'd buy a book.
Is that how the kids do it now?
Yeah,
these days?
There would be a lunch counter, there'd be able to go crazy. Anyway, and there's this book, and it's all about, it's basically, what I gather from it is you don't like Bruce Rauner that much. That's my sense.
Was that a take, a key takeaway?
That was my takeaway.
Okay, good.
Yeah, and
good.
I thought, but
yeah,
it,
did you have to do cliff notes?
Well,
it
was
a little pamphlet.
It was interesting because I went through. It's not really a pamphlet. It's like 40 pages long,
uh-huh.
isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's small type, and it's, you know, it's like pocket size because you can carry it all around with you, read
we
on the bus.
We were a little worried about the older folk like you with the small type, but we figured.
Well, older guys. You know, I'm presbyopic. You gotta help me with that. But it is. But I thought, wow, there's a lot of detail in here. Are people talking to you about
this? Oh, it's important.
Book?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. People love the book. And it's very old school.
It is very old school. Yeah.
But we think Republican primary voters actually care to know the facts and the details, and why not just give them the whole story so they can understand what we've been living through as legislators for the last 3 years, because it's hard to detail all of that on, like, you know, a flyer. You can't do it.
All right, let's talk about some of the things here. Like, you go to if people go to search you on Google, an ad pops up. Early on, like, the first thing that pops up is an ad about you and property taxes, and that you didn't vote to freeze property taxes back in 2013 or something like that.
Oh, that's
right?
A good one. Okay.
Yeah. So what for people who are going to stop and go, well, are you really as conservative? Mm-hmm. Where do you think we should be on property taxes in the state?
Well, we shouldn't try to freeze them at the highest level. We should actually try to cap them so you can actually own your home again instead of renting from the government. And so we're going for a 1% hard cap, kind of like Indiana has. And we have to reorient a lot of stuff to make that happen. It's not going to be easy. But if you're not hitting the right target, you're never going to get there. So at least we're hitting the right target. And over time, we can get to that point. And what we do when we do that cap, and we make Illinois the state more the primary funder of education, then you start to see where the costs are going to have to come down. And that's when you get the reform. That's when you get to start be competitive with other states.
Because you're forced to. You just don't have
the
money.
Yeah, you're forced to. You just don't have the money. And that's where we are. I mean, this outrageous. Teachers, you know, that's 70% typically of your property tax bill. All right? And great. You know, God bless them for the work they do. Honestly, I've had good teachers in my life. My kids have had good teachers in their lives. But the truth is, you know, 180 work days on top of that, 13 sick days, 2 personal days, you know, every single vacation off. And
but aren't
then,
most public workers kind of like that?
Just,
police,
just,
firefighters, others, like, don't they all fall in that category?
Yeah, and then you've got these rich pensions. So the average teacher comes out with like a $2.3 million pension after working about 35 years. I mean, the math does not work in the state of Illinois anymore.
The latest statewide poll end of February put you 20 points behind Rauner, 51-31. I'm sure you do internal polling as well. Are you seeing that's tightening up quite a bit since that?
Or yes.
What are you seeing?
Yes. There was another poll that was done that had us about 20 points apart closer than that, like 14 points apart. But when you overlay that with the data of who's voting and what, we know that we're even closer than that. And we've got the momentum on our side. And actually, if the turnout looks to be lower, like it's predicted to be, then that actually benefits our campaign, because those who are most motivated are going to come out and vote. And those will be our voters.
Let me ask you a question about teachers. I want to go back to this.
Sure.
Should teaching be a career?
I think for some, yes. I mean, some people have made it a career and they're very good at what they do, and they know how to manage a classroom and manage all the data, and they're good with kids, and there's something to be said about that. Of course, I think it's also really important that teachers are subject matter experts, especially at the higher level. So sometimes you get a better teacher who has actually lived a life outside of the teaching environment and doesn't just know teaching, but actually knows their subject matter really, really well. And those people should be allowed to come in a much easier manner.
All right, but the point here is that, and this is one of the things, I mean, this is not just in this campaign, this comes up in a lot of campaigns, and it's a national debate about the role of teachers. And why is it that you feel, and I know that a lot of conservatives feel, that the if you're going to go after public workers, teachers are almost the first people to go after in terms of cutting the budgets on. Why that seems like a pretty critical thing. I mean, public education, I don't know, you know, where you stand on this, but
sure.
But public education is the, you know, basically the rule of the land, not the law of the land, but the rule of the land. You can, and it's mm-hmm. where are we going to find these people to mm-hmm. teach the children? It's a pretty important thing here, especially as the culture and the and society and technology is changing so rapidly. Knowing things is very valuable.
There's no doubt. I mean, I'm actually pro-teacher. What I've talked about in terms of education is the administration. It's just gotten out of hand. So you've got 860 school districts, 25% of them are single
school districts. Yeah, but you're saying that the teachers who teach for that period of time, beginning, you said $2.3 million in terms of a pension, and you
yes,
said that, which
absolutely.
I think does so, put them in a category of you know, oh, these are entitled folks. I mean, that's the populist look.
Well,
at
when
that.
It comes to pensions, they certainly are. They certainly are entitled folks. I mean, for the average teacher puts in about $156,000, and on the back end, they get $2.3 million. The math just doesn't work. So they're entitled very much when it comes to their pensions. And it's something that is bankrupting our state. I mean, you can't spend 25% to 28% of your general revenues on teachers and think that you can actually support education in the classroom. Or infrastructure to, I mean, they're all complaining about we don't have internet service or we need additional resources. Well, you know what? We're spending it all on the teacher's pension. And it's just out of norm for what they're putting in. We've got to handle our pensions. And that's the focus.
What is that
here,
based
is
on,
pensions.
By the way, that $2.3 million in terms of years? Of
35
of
years.
About 35 years.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times they buy out 2 years of sick leave that they've accumulated, which is, you know, completely incompatible with the private sector. Additionally, about 60% of your school districts pick up all or some of the employee's share of their pension. So literally, some of these teachers really don't pay for anything of their pensions. It's been negotiated that way. And, you know, it's just not right.
You're a prominent woman in politics and have a military background. I want to ask you about the Me Too movement. We've seen Mike Madigan get beaten up recently because he didn't do enough to, people thought, to mm-hmm. get in the way of something that was happening within his own office. He wasn't directly responsible for it, but it was happening under his watch. And there have been other instances in Springfield and across the state, of course. How do you feel? What kind of is a reform that's needed here? Does government need to step in?
Well, government is now finally stepping in, you know, to put some more rules around, you know, you have to have sexual harassment training. Honestly, we're all adults. You know sexual harassment because you're an adult. I mean, it's not that hard to figure out. And it's a culture problem. And the culture is set really by the leadership and how well they respond to it. So the reason Mike Madigan should resign is twofold. One, he, along with John Cullerton, failed to put a legislative inspector general in for 3 years, even though there were 27 complaints pending. And it could be sexual harassment, could have been any ethical violations, but they literally swept it under the rug for 3 years. And but for Denise Rothheimer coming forward, we don't know when they would have ever put a legislative inspector general in. Just did not want to deal with it. They don't want any negative press. They don't want anybody to say anything about them. And they want to just keep doing what they're doing. And then now what have you had? You've had Kevin Quinn resign, right? And then you had Shaw DeCramer have to resign as well and leave Mike Madigan's control. So, I mean, he's got a problem. And his caucus is actually calling for his resignation as the Democrat Party chair. And, you know, I, along with Scott Drury, have called for him to actually just resign. Mm-hmm. But he also should resign just because he's failed the citizens of Illinois for decades.
Well, let's talk about that. All right, so if you become governor of the state of Illinois,
sure.
what would you do to, and let's assume you don't have a Republican legislature.
Okay.
Right, like as Bruce Rauner does.
Right.
What would you do? What would you do differently than Bruce Rauner is doing to try to get your way here?
Well, the Illinois governorship is a very powerful position. Unfortunately, we have a weak man in there. But, you know, Bruce Rauner could have done a lot of different things, given that
but
he was not
going to.
Yeah, what would I do? Right. Well, I'm going to work with Mike Madigan or I'm going to work around Mike Madigan. But we're going to build the coalitions to get the
job
done.
How are you
going to
work around Mike Madigan?
The only way to do it. There's no other way to do it. It's not that. It's not easy work. It's really difficult work. But you have got to go straight to the voters and build the coalitions to pressure the legislators to make the reform happen.
Hasn't Governor Rauner tried that, though? And it hasn't
worked. Not really. Not really. We always were failing him for really not getting his hands too dirty and going down and really talking to voters and building the coalition. I mean, this is how the Democrat governor, or the current governor now, but at that time treasurer, Gina Raimondo, Rondo of Rhode Island got pension reform, she went and talked to the voters until finally they woke up the legislators and said, yeah, we got to do pension reform. You have to go to the voters. There's no other way. You have to win politically, or you build the coalitions to get the job done. But even if you can't get something done legislatively, you can at least run your agencies efficiently, which Rauner has failed to do. Think about what he's done with Veterans Affairs. Think about Medicaid, how it's not been reformed. All right. And you can also take on government corruption, which is an everyday event in the state of Illinois. You do not need Mike Madigan to take on government corruption. You don't need him to.
Right. But you do need Mike Madigan to, who, I mean, this is clear. I mean, we talked about this last week, and it occurred to me that Mike Madigan has been the Speaker of the House of Representatives since I was in high school, and I am an old man now. There's a lot of gray. No one has been able to really. They've worked with him and they've worked around him in some respects, but never been able to go right through him. And, you know, part of what you're advocating here, and Bruce Rauner did the same thing, and he didn't do it, right? I mean, right. That's your argument, and I think a lot of people would probably agree with it, but it's at least there's got to be a moment. Now, he's not going to be there forever. Mm-hmm. There is talk that he may not stay after 2020 or 2022, right? Mm-hmm. So the question is, you know, what, you know, will there be enough legislators to come along with you? I mean, Democrats are probably not going to come along with you. The one thing, I mean, I don't know, Ro.
I mean, honestly, the finances in the state of Illinois cannot be worse. We can't handle more out-migration. And I'll tell you what, we've had some conversations even this year already in spring session with Democrats who get it. Look, there was a Democrat going after the head of the U of I about the tuition just being way too high. Well, good. Glad to hear you. Let's work on that. So I think the roosters are coming, you know, the chickens are coming home to roost in the state of Illinois, and they understand, too, you can't continue this this economic climate and expect to be able to fund everything that you have to fund. And more importantly, Chicago is sitting on a balloon pension payment in 4 years that they cannot afford right now. It's going to take up 25% of your general revenues, and there's no way to fund it. It's doubling. Yes. It will double the amount of pensions that you have to pay. And you just went through how many different tax hikes, property tax hikes. I mean, the soda tax got repealed. But, I mean, you name it. You've had everything, and they cannot solve this. They have to come for relief. And when they come
from
for relief.
State.
Yeah, but it's relief in a different way. It's relief on reforming pensions.
Right.
And when they come and they ask for it, we're going to get it for everybody.
When the city comes and asks for it,
absolutely,
right? Which you already heard the mayor talking about, the mayor spends a lot of time in bankers' offices right now. Going, you know what we really need to do here?
We're not that bad, are we?
Here's what we need.
Yeah. You know what's funny though? I mean, are you guys aware of what they've done? They've taken the next 40 years of your sales tax revenue and they siphoned it off into a special fund, so they basically can clear the credit card and take on more debt. And they protected that fund from default, so the bondholders get paid out before taxpayers or pensioners or anybody else who provides a service.
Well, that's
a problem.
Well, you got to do that to get a bond. But let me ask you. So you're talking about reaching across an aisle here if you become governor.
Yes.
Right. Okay. How are you going to be able to reach across the aisle to Chicago and other Cook County Democrats? After your second ad ran, which was your third ad was I got your attention now with the lady with the pink hat and then the guy dressed as a woman and all that. I mean,
thank you, Bruce Rauner.
But
that's what we call it.
A lot of people thought it preyed on stereotypes that were unfair, and even members of your own party kind of gave you some backlash. You lost some editorial board approvals, and maybe you don't care about that. But I think it's tended to offend, and it did get people's attention, and maybe it was effective in that way. But I think, didn't it turn people off? And if you're going to be the governor of the state, how do you unify those people who feel that those are your views?
Well, this is a Republican primary. And Republican primary voters needed to understand the policies choices that Governor Rauner made. And that's what the ad was about. The ad is a true depiction of who Governor Rauner sided with and the policy choices that he took on. That's what the ad is. And people who don't understand, really don't understand those policy choices then, in my opinion. And so it's not there to offend, it's there to wake up people and tell them what's going on.
To wake up Republican activists.
Well, Republican voters and anybody else who's paying attention. Look, I have Democrats who like that ad, too. They understand what the policy choices that he chose as well. So
J.B. Pritzker loves that ad. But,
sure, of course.
I don't think that if it's really about reaching across and being the governor for the entire state. If you are in the, let's say, the LGBTQ community, or you have someone in your family who is, why would they trust you?
I have same-sex couples working on my campaign for me. So the reason they trust me is because they know when it comes down to their pocketbook, they can trust me. Now, I mean,
obviously, you can't repeal marriage now because the Supreme Court is already.
You can't repeal that. We're going to follow federal law. I'm not interested in adjudicating or legislating adult consensual relationships. Restricting adoption rights.
Rights for gay couples?
Well, here's the problem with that whole thing is the restriction that on adoption rights were to Lutheran services and Catholic services saying that they can't place foster children as they see fit. So why can't they place foster children? Why shouldn't they be able to? That's the problem. You're looking at it from a restriction of another nature.
Do you think there should be a restriction for adoption rights for gay couples?
You know what? I'm not going to look at that policy right now. I'm going to look at actually expanding adoption options and going back and letting Catholic services and Lutheran services adopt who they feel they want to. Why can't we have an all above on that one?
All right. So if they say no, it's okay. If Lutheran or Catholic churches say they don't want to, they won't do that. Okay. And then in terms of, let's just jump into this very quickly before we go.
Mm-hmm.
Today there was this talk about this in terms of the Trump weapons issue here and school safety issue, mm-hmm. sending stuff back to the state. So that would fall, if you were governor, right on your lap.
I've already voted on those bills, a lot of them.
So the high.
So I have a record on guns, and Rauner's hiding what he's going to do. So he's getting ready to betray the Republican Party once again when it comes to Second Amendment.
Okay, so let me just add, this is the one that gets everybody's attention mm-hmm. right now, is this 18 to 21 situation. Sure. So high velocity, high capacity, long guns. Is the one that they're looking at here. You know, that's, and there's going to be ways to define that, but the AR-15 and the AK-47, they fall into
the
this.
The AR-15 is actually not a high-velocity, high-capacity rifle. It's only a 5.56 millimeter.
Yeah, but it's a... What?
It's only a 5.56 bullet. It's not that...
But
it's not a high capacity. I mean, you have to define those terms.
Okay, so if 30 capacity in the magazine...
Okay, 30 capacity.
Okay, 30 capacity in the magazine. So the capacity of the magazine is, and the it's a high velocity weapon, right? 3,300 feet.
There are
per
other
second,
ones
right?
that are higher, but
okay. But in terms of capacity plus velocity, do you think that we should move in the state of Illinois,
mm-hmm.
if given the opportunity to move purchasing that style of weapon, that type of weapon, it would have to be defined up to 21 with a military exemption.
Do you think that voting should be at 21 too?
Well, quite honestly, sometimes I do.
Yeah,
but I wouldn't do that. But there are things that alcohol you can't buy until you're 21. There are things you can't buy until you're 21. There's things you can't do until you're 21.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be president of the United States until you're 35, right?
Well,
can't
it's
be a
really just a kind of an arbitrary number. Average of mass murderers, the age is like 33. So it's really an arbitrary.
So the answer is no.
Here's the deal. Ro, I already have a record on that. I voted against that bill. Governor Rauner is the one who is not telling us how he's going to vote on any of these legislations.
Any restrictions?
I voted against it.
Any restrictions you would do on gun legislation right now? Would you?
I did vote to ban bump stocks, which we've had a ban on automatic weapons since 1934. And any device that would make it like an automatic should also be banned. That makes sense. But every other thing that we're looking at in terms of restricting Second Amendment rights is really only a restriction on those who are law-abiding citizens. You know what? When you can take the guns out of all the gangbangers sitting on the west and the south side shooting things up, because I looked at this and I was watching on the floor the same, and it's a horrible tragedy what happened in Parkland. Horrible. 17 people dead like that. Boom. That same week we had 19 shot and wounded in the city of Chicago, and it happens time and time again. And where's the enforcement on those?
Right.
And
but Parkland was, you have a single shooter. I think we all understand the difference there.
There's a difference.
A terrible thing
government,
here.
Government actually failed in that situation. There were no accountability measures for government in Parkland, and there were no bills in Springfield about government accountability.
What would you do about the gang situation in Chicago?
That's a good question. It's a good question. It's a difficult issue. I imagine, to solve, and it's got to be solved within that community to some degree. They've got to start talking to people.
State troopers on the streets? More state troopers on the streets? That would be something you would be able to do as governor.
Yeah, that's true. I would see how the city wants us to support that effort. But certainly we need to have, I don't know that there's been as much focus on that. And then you've had a problem with the police situation here in the city of Chicago.
Death penalty for drug dealers? The president brought that up this week.
Who did?
The president.
Oh, he did?
Death penalty for drug dealers.
For drug dealers.
Yeah.
Well, you'd have to be a death penalty proponent to believe in that.
Are you a death penalty proponent?
Not necessarily, unless the DNA is like definitive.
Okay, so because he brought it up. I didn't bring it up. Okay. That was his Saturday at a Saturday rally. He likes what they're doing in the Philippines.
But back to taxes and the state's economy, because it's in the tank, and we're not even talking about the things that most people care about, which is their property taxes and job opportunities and good education. And let's talk about the lies around Rasputin and about me being Mike Madigan's best friend.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I tend, when we talk to all the people, I tend to not make it about their campaigns and more about what they stand for.
All right, good.
The ads are all out there for this. We see what all the lies. I read the book.
And you don't always read the book.
Right.
So that's
I don't.
Big.
It was small print, and I got through with that. All right, Jeannie Ives, awesome. Thank you very much for being
Thanks
here.
For
Appreciate
having
it. Right now, we have got Judy telling us what's coming up in just a minute in the WGN Newsroom.